Father, we thy children bless thee, for thy love on our souls. Source of blessing, we confess to thee, now our Father and our God. Wondrous was thy love in giving Jesus for our sins to die. Wondrous was his grace in leaving for our sakes the heavens on high. Father,
Jesus said, How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now that is natural to man and natural to privileged people too. Again he says, ye will not come unto me that you might have life. Oh, the opposition of these stubborn wills that are so much like a wild ass, a wild ass's soul. Stubbornness and wanting to do our own will. That is what we are by nature. Well, if the world is that way, God is not willing, the Lord is not willing, He's not willing that any should perish. Now His will is His desire that all should be saved. But besides the world, there is Christendom in general, bent on just the opposite of what is written in the Word. That's the tendency of Christendom, to go not in the way and the will of the Lord, but in their own way. Now we're getting a little closer to home when I add this next thought. How about those that have higher privileges than those in the camp? How about ourselves? The speaker does not want to in any way make a difference between those that are sitting in the seats tonight, but to bring scriptures before us to remind us of tendencies that we might bow and bow the shame of our tendencies. And I know of no remedy for our failures but to bow with shame and feel with grief how far our tendency is to depart, to decline, because we do not prove by our ways that we really relish the will of God. Now you and I, through grace, we that are the Lord's, do have a nature exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He Himself, from eternity, it was His will to come and to do the will of God. We get that in the 10th of Hebrews, verse 7. We get it in the 40th Psalm, verse 7. Yea, I delight to do thy will, O God. Now, you and I have a nature that does love to do the will of God. But which nature gets the ascendancy? We have two distinct natures. And the allowance of one disallows the other, whichever it may be. Now it's a question of whose will is going to have the way, our own or the Lord's. The Lord Jesus Christ could say, I do always please the Father. I do always please Him. Now there is what you and I would love to be able to do and say. Now I want to mention a little verse. In the other translation, you'll not find it in your Bible like it is in the other translation. Some of you may know this interesting little verse. In the 34th of Job, in verses 14 and 15, each verse has its part which I'm going to quote. If he only thought of himself. Now the next verse says, all flesh would perish. Now, I thought also that for an epitaph on some gravestones, it would be very proper to have it engraved on the gravestone, he only thought of himself. Oh, how awful a thought. Is that not characteristic of man, naturally speaking? Are we not selfish? Is not our will that which is most in the way? Mr. Darby is having his Bible, a little verse, stanza like this. Not but thy love, Lord Jesus, comfort this wayward will. But for thy love constraining, I have been wayward still. Now this does speak to you and me, such truth as that. But now we want to go on with our subject, and that is, as I said, overlooking the things of first importance. The world is bent on overlooking the thing of the first importance. We sometimes say to maybe an educated person, we ask them, what is the most important thing in the world? And you know the answer sometimes is that is to be ready to leave it. But man naturally, as a fallen sinner, does not want to have to do with God. His will is against it. The carnal mind is enmity to God. It's just simply that in itself. So much, now that's enough for what the will is by nature. Now let us look for ourselves at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now here is the thing of first importance. We are God's creatures, and you and I, through grace, are children of God, as we've been singing in that hymn number 9. Now we are told by the Lord to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now this is a great principle in itself. What are we bent on? What are we seeking? What is our life characterized by? That verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 29 that I've sometimes thought would fit into Paul's last epistle, the second epistle to Timothy, for these last days, these last difficult times, when there is so much of living unto ourselves and not the Lord. So Paul says in that verse, all seek their own and not the things of Jesus Christ. You and I are living in the most luxurious country and age when everything is made attractive for you and me to live unto ourselves with all the conveniences. We all have this tendency. Once in a while we find an exception. We're not going to that. They are odd, you know. But some may do this to the Lord. All seek their own things and not the things of Jesus Christ. Is that true? Is that not true? What is the general tendency of our times? Instead of just evading these things, don't you think it'd be good for our souls to entertain them? I believe it'd be good for us too. In the end of the 9th of Luke, I don't wish to turn to it now, but you do remember on a couple of verses there where it speaks about me first. Let me first go to my folks and bid them farewell and so on. It's me first, there twice. Well, that's the tendency, as you know. Let me think of back there in Numbers 32, where we see the two tribes and a half. Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. They want their own will because they had cattle. Now, I don't know if there's cattle that you and I have, but it's something like cattle, maybe. Right there is a tendency to put our business first. Put our own self-advantages first. We have cattle. How many times did it say it? I haven't counted, but you know it's quite a few times until it rattles in your ears. We have cattle. We have cattle. Now that was a controlling motive of their stand they were going to take. They didn't want to go over into that land that God had promised for them to win and take possession. The other tribes did, but they preferred to be where it'd be to their own advantage. That's the only thought they had was their cattle. Watch out. They were passing up the better thing, overlooking God's mind and God's way, and they were the first, of course, of the tribes to suffer. And their sin found them out. Then when we think of Hagar, that wonderful little two-chapter prophecy of Hagar, a precious portion. But that faithful prophet in the days of the return remnant of God's people to God's center. Just a paltry few, about 50,000 out of a nation of millions. They're going to multiply the millions. Here's only 50,000. The days of Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the prophet Haggai. After the people had been discouraged from going on with the building, they began to settle on their leaves, and they left off working on that temple for some years. But the prophet Haggai encouraged them, and they did prosper under his ministry. But there, the people were saying, give us some time, Lord, the Lord calls, it isn't time yet. But the answer was, is it time for ye, O ye, to live in your sealed houses, and this house lies waste. Well, that is in keeping with everyone seeketh their own things and not the things of Jesus Christ. Do you not believe that God's word, not me who stand here, but God's word, the Tavis, take note of what we are spending our time? Are we redeeming our time? Are we? Well, if God should use these to stir up us all, I believe it ought to help some. Not to a lot of fleshly activity, not to a lot of religious activity, no, but to bow and own our poor tendency and seek grace to walk in lowliness and dependence and in attending to the things of the Lord. Then I think we would be happier than we are. There is no happiness outside of doing the Lord's will. While we're here, grants at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. The Lord says elsewhere in 6th of John, labor not for the food that perishes. Don't spend your life just for the temporal things of the now, but live for the things that will honor the Lord Jesus. You and I have a deep desire in our heart to spend our little while that's left to honor the Lord. I know that this is true of you, that we have a desire to honor the Lord in the little while we are here. Now look at verse 32. The Lord says, after all these things, to the Gentile seed, are we any different? We let us challenge ourselves. Now I wish to take up another thought in chapter 7. Verse 4. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then